Instagram, and at drunkendumplingchico.com, where they love food, flavor, and our community. Eternal Funk, Ken Clark Trio, a little theme song here. Thank you, Mr. Clark. And got a full plate today, so we're going to get right to it with a bunch of things that are happening and some interviews that I've been doing throughout the week. And none quicker and sooner than the timing of today is also the opening of the Butte County Fair.
Well, I would like to welcome Charlotte Hall, owner of Hall Marketing and Designs, but also on the board of the Butte County Fair. And it's fair weekend, like starting tonight, because this is on, even though we're pre-recorded, we're going to broadcast on Thursday. So tonight starts the Butte County Fair.
Yeah, welcome. Excited to be here. It is a fun week. We have so much planned for everybody. Just want to encourage people to come out. The fair looks beautiful. The grounds do. Lots of flowers have been planted. The grass is green, and lots of people will be there.
And the weather's going to be, the weather looks promising too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, mid-90s.
We think we won't go over 100, but you know, there's plenty of liquid refreshment in case people get hot, you know.
Yeah, and you know, hey, for us, 85 is chilly, so you know.
Fair.
Now it's in Gridley. Some people might think it's not the Silver Dollar Fair in Chico. This is in Gridley. And you just go down 99 and it's right off of downtown, just on the east side there.
It's pretty easy to see. I think I should know for sure, but I think there's signs that tell you where to turn. But it's only two blocks to the left off of downtown as you're coming in from Chico. So let me tell people a few of the highlights that are going to be there. So in the arena, you know, that for arena events, then Friday night, it's Tough Trucks and Mud Bogs, which is about as silly country fun as you can get. If you sit in the front row, you'll get splashed with mud. And it's just fun and, you know, silly, stupid. Then Saturday night is Demolition Derby, which is the most popular event that happens at the fair. And most people know what Demolition Derby is. It's the highlight of that is that I believe it's happening again this year. But the last couple of years, we've had RVs doing Demolition Derby at the end of just no cars. And it's unbelievable to see those RVs ramming into each other. So,
oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. And you know, the carnival goes as late as midnight on Friday and Saturday night, and it's always lots of fun. We've got all the normal fair foods and a few new items. We actually have some more kind of international stuff. There's you know, besides hot dogs, corn dogs, cotton candy, all that. There's some Indian food, I believe, and some other more urban sort of international offerings.
Right, right. And I see that you have a Strung Nugget Gang, Strung Nugget Bluegrass Band. Brett from these guys, I've seen these guys a number of times. They're going to be playing on Saturday evening at 5 at the Country Stage. So you guys got some great entertainment, and there's a lot of different I was just looking at this Valerie Hopkins. She looks really interesting as well. And that's going to be on Friday as well.
She's a singer. I haven't heard her, but people have said she's pretty good. And, we spent more money on entertainment this year. So good. We got, a better string of entertainers.
If you go to the ButteCountyFair.org is the schedule for everything. All the days broken up. I mean, you've got Outlaw Mariachi in the evening coming up. A couple of shows. There's really something going on all day. Puppet shows. A lot of kids activities. You have a hypnotist.
Lots of kids activities. Yeah, lots of kids activities. I also should mention on Sunday we call Hispanic Family Day, and there's an event in the arena that's I haven't been to it. It's put on not by the fair. We let somebody else come in and do it, and it's definitely a Hispanic event that's got music and entertainment, and everybody's welcome. But my friends that have been that are Hispanic thought it was a fabulous event. And so I'd encourage people, if they're interested, to check that out. I'm sorry I don't have more information, but it definitely, the whole day is devoted to different Hispanic.
Yeah, culture. It looks like the big show is at 7 p.m. on Sunday. So that looks fun. Right. But there's things going on throughout the day as well. Right.
In all the arena events, there's a separate ticket that you have to purchase for those. You don't get to those just by coming into the fair. So it's two separate things, a fair admittance price and a ticket price for the arena events.
Okay.
What else can I tell you about it? Of course, we've got commercial exhibits like normal and livestock. You know, judging livestock for FFA and 4-H is a big part of our fair. We are surrounded by wonderful agricultural area, and even a lot of city kids raise animals to enter in the fair. So that judging starts today, I believe. I know the animals have been arriving. I'll be over there starting tomorrow. I judge what we call clean barn. So we rate the kids on how well, it's not just if the stall is clean, but how well it looks like they're, what a good job they're doing taking care of their animals. And does it look like they've got good bedding and good food and stuff. So besides the normal judging, which is, you know, looking at the animals for a configuration, we do this to encourage the kind of care that we want to see the kids are developing. And the kids are so excited. It is so much fun to watch the kids show, particularly when you have the great big steers and you have little tiny children with a little tiny stick. It's not called a stick. I don't know what it's called. That you're kind of encouraging them to move one way or the other, which that stick has no power except that they are agreeing to do what you're suggesting they do, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's anyway. Great.
It's lots of fun for the kids, and it means a lot to them. So that's a big part of the Gridley Fair. It's very family-oriented and very much centered for the agricultural kids, giving them an opportunity to learn.
All right, that's great. And it looks like it kicks off on Thursday at 4 p.m. till 11, and then Friday 3 to midnight, and then it's noon to midnight on Saturday and noon to 11 on Sunday. So
right.
A lot happening. And if you just go down 99, you either turn on East Hazel or East Spruce. Either road will take you right to the fairgrounds. Lots of parking, lots of family fun. And yeah, it's great. It's such a part of, you know, of our history, of our country's history and the state, and a celebration of ag and, you know, and not just ag, but, you know, animal husbandry and farming and care and micro industries and crafts and all those things. So, yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that there's, besides the animal judging, we do still have traditional, what we call stills, which is all the other kinds of entries you can have. There's a lot of people that enter photographs. Kids mostly. There is adult level and different crafts.
Quilting. So, they're still doing like quilting things and
quilting.
What about like jellies and, you know, jams and that?
I think we quit doing preserves because not as big of an entry for that. So there's not as much of that. But certainly woodworking and other crafts like that that are popular for. Some of it's taught in high school. Some of it that are learned at home, you know. So,
yeah.
And there's an opportunity to buy all kinds of things that you can't buy elsewhere. You know, there's always things that that are sold at the fair. Like last year, there was a booth where they sold wood carved products, and not rough, very, very, very nice actually made, finally finished. And they, I bought one spontaneously for my husband because they had them for all different baseball teams. And they were like 12 inches, circular 12 inches, but not exactly circular. So my husband's a Dodger fan, so I got him a Dodger fan. It's very cool. Yeah. And they had beautiful wood boxes to, you know, jewelry in. Or, so there's all kinds of unusual things. There were some gorgeous fountains that were being sold last year for outdoor installation. And
oh, yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, and it's great to support these local businesses that help support the fair and keep it all going. All right, well, let's go to that website one more time, buttecountyfair.org. Just click on the big logo and take you right to the schedule. There is a ton of things going on all day long. Like I said, a lot of children's, a lot of family activities. It goes late into the evening. And Charlotte, I also want to thank you for your service to the Butte County Fair. I understand this is your last year on the board, and I know you got a lot of balls in the air. So thanks for putting in your extra time to help make these things happen.
You're welcome. It's a good event.
All righty. All right. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Butte Views and Beyond.
All right. That's right. The Butte County Fair down in Gridley started today, 4 o'clock, and again, full schedule of events all day long. Let's see, Friday, I believe it starts at 3, and then on the weekend, I believe it starts at noon. If you go to Butte County Fair on that there internet, you'll find all the information you'll need. Well, let's move on to some local happenings over in Oroville with the Oroville Botanical Garden and Education Center.
I'd like to introduce Susan Sims, who is the co-founder and president of the Oroville Botanical Garden and Education Center to Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ray. And hello, everybody.
Hey, listen, I've heard, you know, I've been aware of you guys for a few times, and we've had some of the other members on a few years back. But your organization is really starting to take off. And why don't you tell us some of the things that are happening and a little bit about what you guys provide?
Well, our headquarters are located at Dunstone Memorial Hall on Foothill. And that is a building that goes back from the 1930s. And we have a heritage garden there. And we're also starting on a regular garden. So that's what we have accomplished. We also have one of our original members has donated 30 acres of blue oak woodland to us, which will be just a fabulous opportunity for education on native plants and trees. We also got a grant from California Relief and Cal Fire that we planted 245 trees in Oroville. Nice. And our goal to plant over 300. So we're really busy trying to do good things in Oroville. Please come and join us. This Sunday is one of our open gardens at Dunstone Hall.
Okay. And that's just open to the public? What are the hours on that?
Hours are 11 to 2 on Sunday. And we will be there. We'd love to see you, greet you, and tell you more about who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah. How many people are in your organization?
We have 107 currently.
Wow. That's good.
Yes. We have everything from teachers to politicians. We have a lot of people who are truly interested in the community in our group.
Right. And got to lean towards the native plants of Northern California.
The 30 acres of oak woodland will be. The botanic garden down at Dunstone Hall is not necessarily native plants. It is things that currently it's things that grandma might have planted in her garden.
Okay.
So it's, we don't stick with natives except in places where it would be logical to have the natives. And that would be up at the oak woodland.
Sure. And now, when did you guys get started? When did your organization form?
2017. We're a 501c3.
Okay. Great. And what now you guys do fundraising events and things like that as well?
Oh, absolutely. We're trying to raise enough funds where where we can not only make our gardens better, but we have meeting rooms at the garden. We definitely want to have a meeting room up at the Oak Woodland. So that takes money. So we're out there trying to raise funds everywhere we can. And very shortly, we are going to be starting our brick fundraiser, where you can purchase a brick with your name on it, which will go into our walkway. So that'll be a good fundraising event for us. And then you have your name permanently as a sponsor, for as long as the walkway lasts.
Yeah, as long as bricks are around, as long as yes. Bricks will last. Yeah, that's great. And Butte County has a lot of gardeners here, and a lot of people live and moved here for our climate and for that ability. We live in a garden, basically.
Absolutely. Very few places that you can have citrus in one area and just go a little ways and you're in the snow. So, it truly is a garden area, and there's an awful lot of opportunities for people to get involved. And we're going to do some research on some of the oaks, probably getting into too much here, but with climate change, there's going to be changes in the oak woodland. And we intend to be right there with the universities helping get that done.
It's really true. I mean, we're already seeing changes just through the 7 year, 7 out of 10 years of drought we've had here in Northern California, and starting to take effect on our woodlands, especially the ones in the little bit higher elevation that are a little further from the water table.
So right.
It's definitely an issue. Where you guys in Oroville, that, you're in such a beautiful little microclimate there. I mean, you've got the olive trees, you have the citrus, of course, the mother citrus tree of all, right?
Right. It is. It's a great garden area, and we should have our own world-class botanic garden.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just for the historical record of, Oroville being what it was back in the 1800s and that, I mean, it was such a prosperous and busy area. That's really one of the first areas where they put all these groves in, which is why the mother orange tree was brought there.
Absolutely. I'm a I own a olive orchard myself. And
oh, you do? So
I do. I have the old Meyer olive orchard. We have, and then just a half mile up the street, our vice president has a mandarin orchard. So we are farmers and gardeners, and want to see Oroville have a great botanic garden.
Yeah, it's got the. Again, like I said, oranges. You got oranges, you have nuts, you have olives, all within a few miles of each other. And then everything else you could possibly grow, every garden crop you could ever want to grow.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can grow pistachios, for goodness sakes. I mean, it really is a basket. So
a number of our members are also growers, or either current growers or past growers. Many of them have grew up with their parents having almond orchards or pistachio. So we have a lot of talent. On our board, we have a young man who is a soil scientist. Oh, I shouldn't wow. say. He's actually doing a soil class in the upcoming month. So that'll be interesting too. And we do citizen arborist classes where we're teaching the citizenship more about trees so that they can help monitor the trees we're planting. So we're active out there doing a lot of things.
Yeah, it's great that you guys are really educationally focused as well. I mean, that's really important, because we've got to pass this knowledge on. And it's one thing just to have your own little, your own little paradise spot. But it's another thing to share it with the community and especially people coming up. So that's really important.
It's a bad thing to die with all your knowledge.
Yeah, what good is it, right?
Yeah.
What good is it if you don't share it?
Right.
If people want to get involved, do you guys have a website or a Facebook or anything like that?
We do. We have OBGEC, .com. So that's OBGEC is Oroville Botanic Garden Education Center.com.
Okay. And
we have a website. We also have a Facebook presence. Certainly you can come visit us. And we have so many members spaced throughout that we're well known. The head of the Chamber of Commerce, Eric Smith, is one of our members.
Okay.
So you can always stop into the chamber and they will point you our way also.
Okay. That website.
We even got a award from the International Society of Arboriculture in the spring for our activities planting so many trees, and that hangs in the Chamber of Commerce office now.
Oh, that's great.
And see the Oroville Botanic Garden Award.
Nice. And do you offhand know the address of your building downtown?
Yeah, our headquarters is, I think it's 4790 Foothill.
4790 Foothill.
Dunstone Memorial. Yeah, Dunstone Memorial Building. So that's an old, it's an old church.
Okay.
So it's a very historic building that's owned by the Wyandot Community Association. And they're in somewhat partnership with us. And also the Native Sons. So we're all helping each other to, achieve great things.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, it takes a lot of collaboration, that's for sure.
It does. And we will be at the Salmon Festival, so swing by and see us.
Okay, great. Salmon Festival coming up on the 20th. What is the date this month, this time? 24th.
Excellent. Sounds about right. Excellent. Yeah, that's. And we will have our bricks for sale undoubtedly then.
Oh, good. Okay. Keep that.
Come sign up for a brick.
Yeah. Sign up for get a brick.
Yeah, very get good. A brick.
All right. So Oroville Botanical Garden Education Center, OBGEC.com is the correct website. Also find them on Facebook.
Yes. And, yes. Find us on. And a lot of our events are on Facebook because it's a number of our people have access to post on it. So it's very, very up to date, maybe more than our website is.
All right. Very good. Well, here at KZFR, we have a community calendar for organizations just like yours. There's no cost. The email is CC, just CC for community calendar at kzfr.org. And of course, that goes out to all nonprofits out there. Let us know about your events, and we'll post them twice a day, Monday through Friday, at absolutely no cost to yourself.
Well, thank you so much. That'll help. We'll be a lot more people to come to our events. Appreciate that. Ray.
You bet. Get the word out and help these great organizations prosper. Thank you so much, Susan, for joining us today.
All righty. Always a lot going on. Always a lot going on. And don't forget, the Butte County Fair starts today, and things are definitely happening. We're going to play another quick one, then we'll take a musical break. Every September, it's the Boys and Girls Club annual fundraising spaghetti feed.
Hey, I'd like to welcome back Alex Beener, the development director at the Boys and Girls Club right here in Chico. And holy cow, it's time for the spaghetti feed again.
It is. It's been about a year now, so thanks for letting me join you today and talk about it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Tell us what you guys got going on.
So Paso de Plaza is a spaghetti dinner. It's our 13th annual year of doing this event. It's an opportunity for community members to come down and enjoy a spaghetti dinner while supporting Chico youth and all the programs and life-changing services we have here, everything from after-school tutoring and mentorship to case management services, getting people rehomed, gift cards for services, gas, food, as well as all our food banks here at our Chico campus.
Right on. And this is going to be on the 15th, September 15th, right?
Yeah, September 15th, 5 to 8. You can come and get something to go. You can sit down and enjoy the music. We'll have Rigmarole, which is a local band of music teachers that all play together. They'll be playing live all night. And then just want to take an opportunity to thank our presenting sponsor, Five Star Bank, for supporting us this year and being our presenting sponsor at the event.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this is going to be on Thursday night. Is that right?
It will be the same night as the market. So if you go down to the market and you don't find anything you like for dinner, you come on down. All you can eat spaghetti. We do garlic bread. We have salad. All of the food's donated as well. It helps keep costs low, and we can fundraise as much as possible for our kids here in Chico.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, it's really smart to do it on Thursday night and get all that visibility as people are just down there anyway. And especially, it's starting to cool off a little bit, so it's kind of nice. And
it'll be a nice evening. Yeah. And we typically get, 600 to 700 people through the three-hour window. So it's easily our most attended event in terms of the community support that we receive. And so we're excited. Last year was all to go. And it was unfortunate because I enjoy bringing the community together and everybody can sit and hang out and listen to music and be together. And so we're excited to be able to, bring everybody back together and be able to enjoy each other's company. And again, while supporting, kids and their families here in our community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you can just eat it and hang out there. And now can you also get a to-go option if you want to take it home?
Yeah, we have a walk-up station. So we are doing drive-through this year, but we do have our walk-up station. So if you have to-go tickets, you can go right there and kind of go around the in-person line and grab your stuff to go. And we do it by order, so the food's not sitting out. We get your order, we send it to the back, and then it's made to order. So it's just as fresh as you would get it being at the event. So,
great.
Again, not everybody has the time to sit down, but you can support if you don't have time, if you just don't feel like making dinner for your family. It's only, I'm not supposed to say that, but tickets aren't too expensive. So you're able to just come down, get family dinner for your family, and then head home. And it makes it easy for that as well. And again, supporting what we do here at Boys and Girls Clubs.
Oh, that's great. You guys are making it too easy. And do you buy tickets at the event? Can you buy pre-tickets or a website or anything like that?
Yeah, we encourage pre-sale tickets. Like I mentioned, 600 to 700 people. So I wouldn't take my chances personally heading down and hoping we have tickets. But folks can go online to bgcnv.org, so the acronym Boys Girls Club North Valley.org, and check out our website. You'll find our Pasta and Plaza event there within one of our tabs, and you can buy your tickets online as well. And we'll reach out to you and put them in a roll call or get those in the mail here in the next couple of days.
All right, cool. So the website again is bgcnv.
Yeah, .org.
.org. BGCNV, Boys Girls Club, NorthValley.org. Tickets for the Spaghetti Feed Thursday, September 15th. What were the hours again? 6 to 9?
5 to 8. And five it's down eight. Here at the Chico Rotary Plaza. So if anybody out there is familiar with Schubert's, the big uni mural, that's our gym. So it's right around the corner at that plaza. You'll get close, you'll hear the music going, and you'll know where you're at.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're going to do it right in front of the Girls and Boys Club, right?
Yeah, so that's Rotary's connecting. It connects our campus from our teen center to our grade school level site, so our clubhouse.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, right across from Schubert's. Sweet little park you guys got there as well. So, hey man, thank you for taking time to join us today, and best of luck. And we'll help get the word out and get some folks down there support the Girls and Boys Club of the North Valley.
Sounds great. Appreciate the time. Let me join you.
All righty, man. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a little bit of music break here on Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for tuning in to the Mighty Zephyr. We are worldwide at KZFR.org. And got a smartphone, and it's even smarter when you put the KZFR app on there. And take KZFR with you everywhere you go. All right, swinging at the Haven, a little Austin Harris stroke in the 88s there, right here on Butte Views and Beyond. Again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll get right to our next interview. Again, September, all these things come around again and again and again, and it's the 35th annual Butte Environmental Council Bidwell Park and Creeks Cleanup coming up, and here's how you can participate.
Welcome back, Caitlin Darby, Executive Director of the Butte Environmental Council. And first of all, starting off, thank you guys for all the work that you guys have been doing for all these years. It's an amazing organization, and our city and county would not look like it does without advocates and the efforts that you guys put into it.
Thanks for saying that, and thanks for having me on.
Sure. 35th annual Bidwell Park and Creeks Cleanup. Wow, 35 years, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I think that what's really interesting that a lot of folks know, I think, about Beck is that some of their original projects that Beck pursued or was developed under was starting recycling in Chico. And that was pre the cleanup. So, you know, our cleanup or our efforts as an organization go back even further, you know, to our absolute roots. But this event in its entirety, which is focusing on all of Bidwell Park and all the creeks in Chico. So it's not actually just Little Chico Creek and Big Chico Creek, even though we call it Chico Creeks. It's expanded to all of the waterways that we can get access to in the Chico community and, you know, even beyond city limits as much as we can with the resources and volunteers that we do bring out that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. I mean, you think, oh, 35 years, you know, you kind of have like a template and stuff, but you kind of still have to, you got to do a lot of legwork every year to get it going and bring in support, I'm sure.
Yeah, what's really cool to see is the history of what's actually been done. And our numbers are well past 250 tons of waste removed from parks and creeks over those 35 years. Wow. Yeah, and it's pretty inspiring each year to know that we're still adding to that number, and the amount of scrap metal and even compostable material and recycled material that we actually sort out. We hand sort that waste as it comes in the day of the event to keep it from going to the landfill, because that's a really big goal of ours, is to extend the life of Neal Road Landfill as much as possible through education and action, such as teaching folks about recycling and composting and where to take, you know, hazardous waste materials. Like it's not just put it in the dumpster and haul it off to Neal Road Landfill. There's a whole big process. We have teams of 5 to 10 at each drop-off site. We have 2 drop-off sites to go through, tons and tons and tons of waste on the day of the cleanup to make sure that what's going to the landfill is truly waste and everything else gets captured and put back into the recycling stream.
Sure. And not only that there aren't aerosols and toxins and batteries and things like that slipping in as well. I know that I've recently been cleaning a few things out, and I made a number of trips over to the hazardous waste disposal out there at the airport. And it's an amazing place just to go to.
Absolutely. I've made a trip out there pretty recently too. And just something very simple to drop off, but it just doesn't occur to you that it's just a drive through, and you know, they take it and they record it, and that all that hazardous waste that a lot of folks maybe don't know to put into a bin to bring out there instead of putting it in their trash can. But it's it makes a big difference in what goes into the landfill and what ends up, you know, having to be sorted through at the landfill. So right. It's a really great resource, super easy to just take it there and drop it off.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a once you do it, it's like, oh yeah, this is like really too easy. If you did it every 2 or 3 months, you save everything, take it out there, boom. And the things just don't go in the landfill. They end up in our water. It all seeps down to our water table, and it all gets up back in our bodies. So it's probably not that great an idea.
Yeah, it's to our benefit now and in the future to not have things go to the landfill as much as possible. And the landfill will agree with you to that. Like, they want to divert as much as they can to where it really needs to go to be handled safely or to be recycled or to compost. You know, compost is a really big effort right now to divert stuff from the landfill that will, you know, create hazardous conditions, not just in our soil or in our water, but also in the air.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, any idea how many volunteers you'll have this year for the cleanup, or what's your is there a number you usually have around? Or
yeah, we usually have. So, I think our goal is always to hit 500 volunteers. Last year, nice. We fell a little short of that. I honestly kind of take blame just because it was my first time organizing it, and so I maybe didn't get the word out as much as I wanted to or could have, or people were just busy last year. The year before was the first year doing it for 2 years. We were actually scaling it back to two days. This year we're scaling it back to 1 day again, but it's a slightly longer day. So our goal is 500 this year, and we've seen anywhere from 400 to 550. More than 500 will send me, you know, definitely to the moon and excitement and having all those hands, because, you know, many hands make light work. And I can say that at the end of these cleanups, there's always more work to be done. So the more folks we can have come out and we send out to the spots that we know need it most, the more is going to get done in that day. And it's really important that we do it when we do, because it's getting it out ahead of when the rains start to come and washing those things out into wherever the water ends up going. A lot of Chico Creek water will end up going out to Sacramento River. Some of the other streams end up in agricultural sumps. And so we want to keep waste from those areas too, because that ends up getting spread into the soil. So that's the goal, is over 500 volunteers. We'll be out there doing that hard work from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. that day. And then we're inviting all of our volunteers back to Hooker Oak Park to get some of the preliminary number readouts, hopefully have some competitions like Weirdest Thing We Found out there. groups that collected the most. So you're going to have an award for most stuff taken out of the parks and creeks. And I have a feeling that some of our groups that join us every year are going to get a little competitive with that. But along with that, food and thank you in our volunteer celebration from 2:30 to 4 o'clock at Hooker Oak that afternoon too. So Saturday is going to be a big day of just being in community with everybody and doing right for our environment, and then celebrating the hard work that everybody's going to do that day. It goes along with the it's a world cleanup day. It's coastal cleanup day. And so not only is it a good time of the year to do this cleanup, you know, because of the seasons changing, but also it coincides with everybody getting out there all over the place to do this work. And when we report out to those groups like the California Coastal Commission, we almost always have the biggest numbers, which is also, I don't know if that's something to be super proud of, that we have a lot of waste, but also that we have the most volunteers come out in one area. So it's really those volunteer numbers and that volunteer power that we are super proud of, and proud of our community for being part of.
Yeah, and people get up and represent it. And again, it's good work. It's feel good. You'll meet great people. And it's probably an infectious thing that people do year after year, because it's like, work hard and then have a great celebration afterwards and really feel good about you being part of your community. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. And we have t-shirts for our volunteers as an appreciation. The design is the same as the poster design by Catherine Sherman. Right now it's on our website and on our social media. You can get a little preview of what the graphic's going to look like. Posters will go up this week. We had, last time I checked a few days ago, we had over 125 volunteers already pre-registered.
Nice.
So we encourage registration as early as possible, but we always order a few extra shirts and have some old shirts for vintage shirts for folks who don't get a chance to get their shirt ordered. So we encourage always early registration. And, this isn't possible without the city of Chico's support. We get a lot of support from the city Public Works Office, both with staff and money. Butte County Public Works also helps with tipping fees. Waste Management and Recology are huge this year. Recology's bins are going to be at Hooker Oak. Waste Management is going to be at the downtown location in the city parking lot at the Municipal Center. Or I don't know if that's actually the right word, but it's the where the city hall is. That lot will be our other drop zone. Big partners every year are Clean Canteen, Sierra Nevada, that, you know, donate a lot of money towards this. It takes a lot of staff time, and it takes a lot of materials and, you know, paying for our volunteer appreciation. So the monetary support is huge for us. We have dozens of sponsors that definitely deserve a special shout out in that regard for that support. So we're really happy for that. And then the Rose Foundation is also supporting our efforts this year for cleanups.
Awesome. Well, it is. It takes a lot of people, and your design is really cool. It'll be it'll be in the News and Review. You got an ad in there. I know it's coming up, and it's funny because I showed it to my my oldest daughter who lives in Sonoma County, and she's like, "Ooh, I really like the design this year." So it's definitely a cool thing, and it's cool to have that shirt for sure. And if people want to sign up, so they go to becknet.org/events/cleanup.
That's right. Yep. And all the information will be there. There's a link to register from there. And then just again, shout out to all of our sponsors for their efforts. They're all listed on our website. There's so many to list right now. I could go on and on. So,
well, that's a good problem to have.
It's good. It's good. We could always use a little bit more of that monetary support, though, for sure.
Sure. And if you own a business out there, or you're part of one, you know, this is why we're here. This is what it's all about. It's all about creating the community we want to live in. And you guys have been doing this for so long. I also wanted to kind of touch on, if somebody's like, "Hey, I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to go sign up, you know, right now. I'm going to go to becknet.org/events/cleanup. What should I, wear like sturdy shoes? Should I bring work gloves? Should I not wear flip-flops? What's the story?"
Most of those things are always true. We will send out a lot of information about safety ahead of time.
Okay, good.
People who want to show up the day of can also just register on the morning of, starting at 8:30 a.m. I would always suggest bringing gloves if you have them. We also have some leather gloves available that we ask to be returned to us. We also have gloves that are just rubber gloves, non-latex gloves, like nitrile gloves, for those specific things. We have materials for pickup, pickers, buckets, all those things. But folks like to use their own tools sometimes, so I also encourage that. We also always need extra folks with trucks and or trailers to help us haul stuff. So there's a lot of boots on the ground, but then, you know, as people collect those things in the bags and the buckets, we have drivers coming around and checking on groups out in the field and picking up those and bringing that all back throughout the morning. So it's not just do all of your gathering and then load it up yourself. That's helpful. So I'm not going to discourage that too, but there are folks who don't have this trucks access, which I've learned in my time here at Beck. There's a lot fewer folks that have trucks than I'm used to, because I'm from the mountains where everybody has to have a truck.
All right.
And so, yeah, just that call out for our core volunteers and folks who want to, you know, it's one day of driving trucks around. I don't encourage a lot of driving, but it's to bring it all back to one place and, you know, less trips for everybody to go to the landfill. So,
yeah. So if you got a truck or a trailer, should they just contact you through the website? Is that the best way to do it, so you guys get them lined up?
When people register, there's also a question about having a truck or a trailer that you're willing to drive, and we'll reach out to those folks too. So we capture that information that we can to have as many resources as possible. And people driving trucks and trailers won't have to go to the landfill. They just will, you know, help pick up from folks in Chico and bring it back to our drop-off locations. Waste Management and Recology will be hauling everything down to, in the city, they have a dump truck that they run that day too. We'll haul everything down to the Neal Road landfill for us.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Well, I know that it's a tight schedule today, so I'm going to cut you loose here, but let's give that website one more time. Becknet, pretty simple, becknet.org, becknet.org/event/cleanup, and it's on September 17th. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with a celebration at to follow, 2 to 4.
That's right. Thanks, Ray. I appreciate the whole community for supporting us in this event.
All right. Thank you guys for everything you do, and have a nice afternoon. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Beck cleanup coming. Fabulous. Something like 250 tons they've taken out of our creeks and parks since this began 35 years ago. Great to show your support. If you're a business, get involved. They're always looking for volunteers. They're always looking for donations. Or if you have trucks or things like that to help. Help keep Chico beautiful in Butte County, all of our waterways. We need it. All righty, we've got one more interview. There's a really fun reception tomorrow night at Manka as they launch their tattoo exhibit.
I would like to welcome back another guest we've had on a few times, of course, because there's always so much going on at the Museum of Northern California Art, a.k.a. Manka. Pat Mathias, welcome back to Butte Views and Beyond. She is the executive director, and you guys got a fun show starting tomorrow night.
Oh, we sure do. It's called Tales of the Tattoo, and it is filled with wonderful stuff to look at, and tomorrow night will be complete with a live tattooist and a bar and music and just a lot of good things happening around tattoos.
Wow, that's we were just talking. I saw that the reception was tomorrow and there's live tattooing. I thought, now that's got to be pretty fun. Is that a first for the museum?
It is. It's Tanner Drake from Tanner Drake Studios.
Oh, Tanner. So,
yeah, he does really, as a lot of them do, really nice things.
Yeah, well, I've recently met Tanner.
Did you?
Yeah, via the computers and stuff. We've been working together on a couple of things, so that's pretty darn exciting.
Good.
What time does this all begin?
6 o'clock till 9 o'clock, or when it ends. 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 to 9. Tales of the Tattoo. And how long is the show going to run?
It will go through October 9th. And we've got some things that I'd like to mention that go along with it.
Sure.
One of them is on September 9th, which will be a book signing. I don't know if you know the book. Let me just get it for you. It's this book right here. So it's The Tattoos of Chico.
I have not seen
it. And it's written by Karen McHenry, and she will be here doing signing, and some of the people in the book are going to be here. And I think Tanner's going to be here also.
Wow.
So that's September 9th from 6 to 9, and then we have a party afterwards with Empty Gate. You know Empty Gate, and we'll have a bar and just fun.
Then
on September 17th, we have an all-day street party outside on Washington Avenue where we'll be closing the street, and it will be geared to the tattoo show plus our vet art grant, which kind of work together. So we'll have Aaron Toole doing his beautiful vet mugs, and from Oakland, we'll have a crochet jam with Ramakon Oroisters. And I'm hoping to have this new person, Tristan, that was in the paper about his new foundation that he has started after he came back from Kabul. So those are part of it. Plus, there will be a live tattoo artist painting and music and just fun. And we have lots of different kinds of fake tattoos for people to get, including some that are Manka.
Well, there you go. You get a Manka tattoo. I remember as a kid, we'd have those little...
That's right.
You know, back in the day, I'm sure this will age us. They used to have little Popeye ones on the 1 cent bubble gum.
You'd
it up and you read it, and they had like Bluto and Sweet.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah, well,
we were down with that early.
We're close.
That's so much fun. And I love the fact that you're kind of the mix together of the Veterans Project with the tattoo show. It's kind of like a perfect blend.
Right. And with the tattoo show, we've tried to not say, oh, here are tattoos. You know, everybody knows tattoos, but we're doing the history of tattoos also, and the cultural look at tattoos, you know, where, who's been doing them for years, and where did they come from? So the history part of it is really important. We have some loaned tattooing machines, and one of them is one that is a replica from a prison. So you can see how they created with what they had to make a little tattoo machine.
To make a machine.
So it's informative and educating also.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. I mean, it really is. Whether you're ever going to have a tattoo or not, it's just a fascinating thing that is, you know, I want to say, I mean, it's always been in our culture, but it really started to gain steam in the 80s, I guess, maybe. I would say, you know, that it started to just, you know, to really excel. And now here we are, you know, 45, 50 years later, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, people would be like, oh, they got a tattoo, but now it's, you know, it's just a thing, you know, it's such a,
it is. I feel kind of naked without one.
what fun. So, the idea of the event on the 9th too, that sounds really fun. So, so the show opens tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yep, 6 o'clock.
Okay,
well, it's open today, but the opening is tomorrow night.
The opening's tomorrow. Okay, all the fanfare is going to be tomorrow, 6 to 9 at Monica, right there on the Esplanade, kind of across from the high school. Can't miss it. And then on the 9th,
it'll be from 6 to 9, the book signing and the kind of party with Empty Gate.
Gotcha. And actual tattooed humans that are in the book.
Yeah.
So you can get them to sign the book too.
Maybe so.
maybe some photo ops as well. So that's always fun. Oh, very cool. And then the big street party coming up on the 17th. Is that right?
Yes, it is, from 12 to 7. So we will block off Washington Avenue from the alley on our side, and then have a lot of activities that, as I said, are geared to the tattoo show, but also to the veteran grant that we still have with vetart.org.
Very cool. Well, you know, I just finished with Caitlin, and I'll probably play your interview after hers about the Butte Park and Creeks cleanup, which is also on the 17th, and their thing is 4, so it's perfect. So you could still you could roll right over from Hooker Oak to Monca and get into this wild street party right there, right there on the Esplanade. How much fun is that? There's always too much going on here, but September 17th, it's a full day. That's all.
All righty, thank you again, Pat, for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond. Again, the tattoo exhibit starts tomorrow evening. Is the reception at Monca. Sounds like a lot of fun. There's a lot going on. Check it out, of course, on their website. And I also wanted to mention that the Fort Bay Aquatic Center is going to be doing salmon tours on the Feather River during the Salmon Festival, and also on Saturdays in October. So you might have heard about that. Everything on their website, the ForeBayAquaticCenter.com, and they also do moonlight full moon paddles in September and October. I know that KZFR did one a couple of times. We had a fundraiser back in the day, and hopefully we can bring that back sometime and get back on the Four Bay in a community radio kind of way. So get ready for peanut butter and jelly time. Movie Grandma's ready. She was on. She was at one of those Four Bay floats, right? Yeah, back in the day. I still got a T-shirt or two. All right, we want to thank D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit D.A. Lampe, LAMPE, construction.com. and by Mountain Sports for over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., 11 to 4 on Sunday at 176 3rd Street, downtown Chico. Thanks, everybody. Have a nice time. Get out and do something fun this weekend, and stay cool. We'll see you next time on Butte Views and Beyond.